Last night, I heard the storms rumbling. After we set the sanctuary up, we went home, and as we were driving home, I said, "Baby, are my eyes bothering me because I see light?" And I couldn't really quite see the lightning, but I could see the effect of it. At a distance, I would see it in the corner. I wasn't really seeing it in front of me, but I'd see it somewhere else. And then I knew something was taking place, is that, yes, I knew that there was going to be a storm that was going to be coming, just didn't know when, right? Because the weathermen are only going to tell you what they know as they see what the radar is saying that's going to happen, but they can't precisely tell you exactly when it's coming. Now, even though Channel 4 can tell you that in 15 minutes, it's going to be over here on 1604 and Bandera, but in 15 more minutes, it's going to be over here on 281. Well, they're telling you because something's already taken effect and they're watching the progression and the track that it's going in, right? They just couldn't tell you when it was going to start and when it was going to end, did they? They can tell you the path, but they didn't tell you when it was going to start. Half the times they come and tell you that the rain's going to start because it's going to come in because of daytime heating. So you can almost, like clockwork, know between 5 and 7 something's about to happen. So I got a 2-hour window. If you got to do what you got to do outside because, you know, rain's about to start coming down. But it's the elements that are necessary to bring about the storm, and we're just talking about rain. You need to have the moisture, it's one. You need to have heat, is the other. But you need to have a catalyst that is going to make it rain. Sometimes you have the hot air and the cold air that just mix together, and it just begins to let it release. Have you ever been through some times in your life where things just seem like it's okay, and all of a sudden you get a blow? And then when that blow comes, you're like, oh, God Almighty. We get real religious at that moment because the storm came. Well, I want you to see, as I give you descriptions on the storms, the three storms that we have a tendency to go through that God allows in our life, but you need to understand what the storm is for. Are you there in Genesis 37? In Genesis 37, in verse 1, it says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old." You see that? 17 years old. "Was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." Isn't that fun? You have a dream that God has given you, and then your brethren just start to hate you. You ever been through some of that before, any of y'all? Really? Y'all, people just come against you? Because things look like something really good's going to happen for you? Have you ever had that? Have you ever been up for a promotion and people know that you're up for a promotion? What usually happens when you're up for a promotion? You get all excited about it. You start putting everything in row. Matter of fact, you even start going, "But when I get this promotion, I get my increase, I'm going to go buy this. I'm going to do this here to the house, what I couldn't do before, now I'm going to do." But all of a sudden, now all kinds of stuff happens. Usually the people that were trying to get that same promotion start to manifest. You ever seen that? People just get a little upset because you're about to increase and they want to keep you down. They don't want you to get it. They don't want you to succeed. They just want you to just stay where you're at. Joseph was 17 years old, and he had a dream. Before we read all of this, I'm going to show you that his brothers came against him, and we know the story. They plotted to kill him, but then they couldn't kill him because it was their brother. So let's just open up a pit and throw him in the pit. Let's take what was created for him, the coat, the covering of many colors, and let's soak it in goat's blood, and let's tell daddy that we killed him. Now tell me that's not a storm for Joseph at 17 years old. Yeah. Right? But God spoke to him through a dream, a vision. This is a dream of dreams. In reality, God spoke to him in his spirit man and showed him where he was going and what he was going to do, and people around him didn't like it. His own brothers. Now, that's a real storm when you got people that come against you that you've been working with, toiling with, living with, sharing food with, sharing the house with, sharing mom and dad with, but they come against you. He gets thrown into a pit. Well, I'm not going to preach to you just about Joseph. I'm going to tell you he went through a process, didn't he? Huh? He got thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, taken from one place to another place. Are you following me? He had the dream in one location, but it took him to go through the hell that he was going through, called the storm of life, to get him to his next destination. Because if it had been his way, he would have stayed home with mom and dad and stayed there doing what he was doing. But sometimes the storms have to come into your life to get you to your next place and your next destination. Maybe it's a whole geographical change. Like, let me shift the sanctuary for you because you were getting so comfortable in your own chairs. Some of y'all couldn't even find your chairs when y'all walked in. You're in my chair. No. I marked it with something. Hold on, wait. I put gum under here somewhere. Because it's just a little bit strange. Right? It's not the same on what you were used to. I just finished a series about being idle as a Christian. You get caught in a routine. Oh, let me tell you. Can I tell on y'all? I always tell on myself. Y'all come in. This is exactly what y'all do. Oh, Lord. Just stand. I know I'm going to need it. Just stand over here. The devil's been messing with my back too long. And I would sit. I'd come out of my office praying. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I come in and I see y'all right at your chair. Coffee almost fall over and get coffee. I'm telling y'all. I see everybody. And I'm watching them. Are they engaging with you? What are they doing? No, they're engaged with their fingernails. They're engaged with their coffee. I'm just reading my Bible. You dang, you lying spirit. Checking the, you know, y'all are funny. Yes, right. Thank you, Jesus. Because then all of a sudden, when things begin to shift, y'all don't know what to do. I happen to have the video camera on when the first person came into the church today. I ain't gonna say. It'll be on the website later. Wow! Wow. Still hadn't made it all the way in yet. Just wow. And I knew something. We as Christians and believers need a wow. Amen. We need God to shift some things to get us out of that routine. Because we're getting so comfortable. Or the other thing, I'm going to just tell it. Yeah, popping off y'all's fingernail polish. And I see it on the floor. Oh, y'all ain't lying. I'm telling the truth. Just let me. What I'm trying to say is, guys, when God is here, your focus and attention should be on him, not your neighbor, not your grooming, not your hygiene, not how much sugar that I put in my coffee. I couldn't quite judge it because we were almost out of sugar. And then I didn't know that cream had flavor and it was so sweet. And you're going through all of this. What do you think that is called? It's called a spirit of distraction. Well, Pastor, quit serving coffee and donuts. Okay. And guess what y'all going to do when y'all walk in? Because the first thing y'all do when y'all walk in, coffee not ready. You want to make the coffee for you, Pastor? No, I got it. It's good. On Wednesday nights, y'all do the same thing. Y'all walk in. Y'all know, right? Oh, it's Wednesday. That's right. You already know. We've been conditioned to do things the same all the time to give us a sense of security. So when God begins to shift some things, it gets a little uncomfortable. We don't like it. Has your boss ever asked you, can he make changes in your job? He asks you? He doesn't ask you. He tells you. Now, he may do what they call a little survey. I'm going to do a survey. I'm just going to ask you, we're going to do a little survey. How would you do this? But what happens is they're going to do what they wanted to do. They just thought they would get your input. And your input just went in and out. Does God ever ask you for permission to do what he wants to do? But yeah, we just got to go through the process, right? Joseph was given a dream that he didn't ask for. Joseph didn't ask for a dream of dreams. He was just sleeping, you know, roo-roo babies, because the storm was coming. And he knew that if I could just stay asleep, I would be okay. And I have a dream. My brothers are going to bow down to me. And he's 17 years old, like most 17-year-olds do. He won't bow down to me. Matter of fact, Daddy, you are too. Daddy rebukes him. Even gets mad at Joseph. So he begins this process that he didn't ask for. Are you following me in the story? So, well, Pastor, I learned about Joseph when I was in Sunday school. Well, let me learn something to you. Joseph went through a perfecting storm. Why was he being perfected in everything that he was going through? Because at 17, how are you going to run a nation when you can't even keep your mouth shut on what God has given you? Amen. Someone give you good news and say, I need this to be just between me and you. It's between me and you right now, but the moment you turn around, I'm telling everybody. God began to perfect him in the storm so that he can prepare him for his lordship over everything he was going to have in Pharaoh's kingdom, correct? How else is he going to learn that when, first of all, he has no business being in Pharaoh's house, that Pharaoh even changed his name? Well, you can read the story there. You can read it. Sometimes you come in contact with people that start changing your name because they have a plan and purpose for you, and they think they're the ones that are controlling your life anyhow. But in reality, it just plays into the plan that God has for you. It's a perfecting storm. Joseph went through a perfecting storm. So I want you to write, if you're writing notes, real good for y'all, students, good. I want you to write on there, Joseph, perfecting storm. Perfecting. That storm that Joseph went through was to perfect him. So are you going through a storm right now where you're being ridiculed, lied about? People are trying to devise a plan to get you to be cast out. You're going through a perfecting storm. And guess what the perfecting storm does? It teaches you how to operate through forgiveness and grace. Because in the end of the story, and I'll just kind of bring it all together, when he now, if you read further on, I believe that in, and I'll give you the verse so you can read and say, you know, Pastor's not making it up, because he has a tendency to make things up. No. In Genesis 41 and verse 46, it says, when he was 30 years old, 13 years of perfecting when he first had the dream. Josh, go ahead and sit down on the first chair there. Sit down. 13 years. How were we? 13 years of perfecting, and we're going through a season right now that we don't like. I don't want to go 13 years. Not me. Ooh. God, whatever is there that's in me that is not of you and that you don't like and you despise, show me so I can get rid of it. The perfecting storm. Now here we go. We find out later that now as he's 30 years old, now there's a famine in the land. But what God had gifted him with is to interpret the dream. Because remember, he gave him a dream of dreams. And then he interprets the dreams that get him out of his pit and brings him into the palace. And while he's in the palace, he's now been able to see what God has given the plan for him to do. And now at 30 years old, now he's able to implement some things. And so now when his brothers come, so they're asking for food, he has to forgive. He has to forgive. Do you see that? That's what the story's about. Joseph had to learn how to forgive, how to extend mercy, and how to extend grace. It's a perfecting storm. Well, how do I know I'm in a perfecting storm? Are you being tested by somebody? Are you being tested by somebody? Then he's going to teach you how to extend mercy and grace. And how to be able to forgive. To understand? Perfecting. I want you to go to Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 through 17. This storm, I want you to write Jonah. It's a correcting storm. Correcting storm. Jonah, first chapter 1, and verse 1. Jonah. Y'all know about Jonah, right? Because you were taught about Jonah and the whale. Did it ever say whale? No, it just said a big fish. Yeah, people that will argue the fact that Jonah was in the whale, belly of a whale. And then, no, it wasn't a whale. It's a big fish. Big fish. It don't matter if it's a whale, a dolphin. I don't want to be in a belly. What you want to argue about that for? Jonah. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He ran away. When God gives you a decree, and he tells you what to do, and you don't do it, and you become rebellious to him, you have a tendency to run away, don't you? Yeah, and you can take this note down that Jonah fled and he went down, and every account he went down. He was in a place, was told to go to Nineveh, but he went down to Tarshish. Watch, always going down. So he paid the fare thereof. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down, see that, went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, and he had to pay the fare. You're going to pay a price every time you disobey God. Even when you're running away, you're going to pay the price to run away. We can stop right there. We already got rebuked, right? Okay. There, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now I already paid my price, got on a ship, and I'm going to run away from God, and I'm going to get on this ship, and guess what he does? He goes even lower in the ship. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares, where the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and lay fast asleep. You know, when you're rebellious and you don't want to listen to God and you disobey God, you'll have an attitude like, I don't care. Even in the midst of the storm, you're not going to care because you don't want to go to this place. You don't want God to get you to where you're supposed to go. And we get rebellious, we get mad, and we're having to pay the price, but we're always going lower and lower and lower and getting further and further away from God. Has God instructed you to do something and you haven't done it? It just seems like the storm begins to come, doesn't it? What happened? Jonah was a prophet of God that God had instructed Jonah to go to Nineveh and prophesy to them. Now, this kind of storm here will get you to the point where you wonder, why am I going to go to this place I really don't want to go to? Why was he afraid to go to Nineveh? They were some horrible people. Horrible. They were persecuting the Christians. They were hanging the Christians upside down. And yet you want this prophet to go over there and prophesy to them? You know why Jonah didn't want to go? Because he knew that God could change his mind. Don't we get that way sometimes? Oh, let me give you a better example then. You know that somebody is being wicked towards you, and your prayer is, I've blessed them because you said bless your enemies. But really, you want to curse them? Yeah, God, get them. Just get them. God, just make them. You know what to do. Because you get so mad because they're coming against you. But Jonah knew something about his God. He knew that God is merciful. He knew it was merciful. But here's what I want you to see. This storm, was it about Jonah? It was about the sailors. Read in that story. Here's what happens. These sailors didn't believe in God. Not Jehovah God. They believed in their own gods that had no power. Now, when the storm came, they get all freaked out. They start throwing things out in the ocean. Well, maybe if we just lighten the load in the ship, then maybe it won't be so bad. We won't get tossed to and fro. Maybe it'll just go away. But it didn't. And then they go down to the bottom of the ship, and they see this young man just sleeping. Hey! Hey! We've been praying to our God. You need to pray to your God. Clue. Have you ever been put in a situation? Some of us call assignments, right? We have an assignment. I'm going to go to this assignment, and it's all about me. I have an assignment. No, it ain't about you. You're going to go through some hell, be persecuted, lied about, talked about, but it's for somebody else. You don't want me to preach in here. This ain't working. Let me tell you again. You go through something in your life and you think it's all about you. It has nothing to do about you. It has to do about the people that are watching you when you don't care and you don't care and you don't care. And you're just sitting there because you've already been disobedient to God. And you say, God, but I don't want to go. I'm going to run away and I'm going to go and hide. It's about the people that are watching you that do not know God, that are about to know God because of this type of storm. We've been crying out to our God, and ain't nothing happening. I've lit, I don't know how many candles. I did my dance. I put the chicken blood there, and I put the chicken feet here. I put all this kind of stuff upside down. I put pennies on the door, quarters all over the door. I put a horseshoe there, and I put a horseshoe over here. Ain't nothing changing. Can you cry out to your God, please? And Jonah wakes up. Just throw me overboard. It's me. What do you mean? Who are you? I'm a God-fearing man. I'm a God-fearing man, but yet I was disobedient. Even prophets have a tendency to be disobedient. Mm-hmm. That includes you. Because some of the things that God tells you to do are hard. And you don't know what the outcome is going to be. But what he did is when he began to pray, they began to see something. They understood that there was a God that brought Israel out of captivity. They knew there was a God that parted the Red Sea. They knew something about the God that he worshiped that their God couldn't do. So as you begin to see that in this story, Jonah has caused a great storm to come because God had a plan to get a hold of those seamen. To get a hold of them. Those sailors are the ones that he was reaching out for. Because after they get a hold of the knucklehead that was down there at the very bottom and thrown into the ocean, the storm
ended immediately. Right. Have you ever wanted the storm to end immediately? Yeah. Don't be looking to your neighbor to cast them into the sea. Don't be looking at that. Don't even look to your neighbor, and if it's your spouse, don't. No, 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 no. You're not throwing them out the house, and your storm's going to be over. Some of the things that you go through is for somebody else. So immediately when they threw him into the ocean and the great fish came and swallowed him up, the storm ended and they knew. They knew his God was for real, that they cried out unto God themselves. And they got saved. They got saved. Maybe you're the only one that knows about the real God in your family or some influences in your life. You're the only one that has a relationship with God. He's going to use your storm to bring about some change in their life that they'll cry out unto God. You understand? It ain't just about you. It's about the fact that God is with you that's going to change the way they see God to what you're going through in your storm. Jonah didn't handle the storm right. I just try to help you. You may not handle your storm right. You may be all mad, upset, and kicking and screaming and crying. Yeah. But God still did what he needed to do. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we know that Jonah wound up in Nineveh because the fish spit him up on the beach. Just so happened to be the place that God wanted him to go, right? Like the fish. The fish knew this, because, you know, Flipper knows everything. And if you tell Willie to go this way and you give him a fish, Willie's going to go wherever you want him to go. He had to do what God told him to do. So in Jonah's case, it was a correcting storm, and the storm was to correct his disobedience, to correct the direction, and to bring about correction to a spirit that was off. And it wasn't about Jonah. It was about the people of Nineveh, that when he spoke, that storm got him to where he needed to go. And when he went to prophesy against Nineveh, they repented and they were saved. So who got saved in this storm? The sailors and the whole city, Nineveh. That's a good God. But he used one person to do it. You ever felt like the weight of everything that you're going through is on you? How come I'm the one that has to fast and pray? How come I'm the one that has to get down on my knees and cry out unto God? How come it's always me? Because God's going to do something through you, through your storm. Through every storm that you go through, God is going to bring about a change in other people's lives that are associated with you. He's going to do it. Why is he going to do it? Because of his sovereignty to receive his glory, God is going to bring about a change. He's going to do it. I want you to go now to John chapter 6, verse 15. This is the storm that is called the protecting storm. The protecting storm. John 6, at verse 15. And when you're there, say amen. All right, let me set this up here. Now, in John 6, in the Gospel of John, he records about the feeding of the 5,000. Okay? He begins to report on how there was nothing to feed all these people following him. And he asked a question to his disciples. Matter of fact, the disciple that he asked was the disciple that lived close in the area. Jennifer, you live close by, don't you? We got about 6 donuts left. Where are we going to get food to feed everybody? Where would your mind go immediately? To proximity of where you're at. Home. But then, I ain't got enough to feed 5,000 people, though. Everybody about to have one piece of grain of rice, and that's it. So what happens is, in this particular storm, this is what I'm going to show you here. The people, because they were following after Jesus, he fed the multitude, and the people are like, ooh, okay, we follow this guy Jesus, we're going to get fed. We need to make him king. You know how, you know, if you're looking for a spouse and it so happens to be your woman and you want your man to marry you, feed him. I just watched on the Today Show just last week. This did y'all see that? Where she made a sandwich for him, and then what happened? He says, you're only how many? You're only 299 away from me proposing to you. Did you see that? And so she's been making all kinds of sandwiches for him, and they were on the Today Show. And they asked him, are you going to, when she finishes making these 300 sandwiches, are you going to propose? He goes, I would have proposed after the first one. No, he didn't get tired of them because you see those sandwiches? Boy, some of these sandwiches put Emerald to shame. But what I'm trying to tell you is that he fed them, and they knew if I just follow Jesus, I'm going to get fed all the time. Let's make him king. Let's make him king. Jesus knew this. That wasn't the destiny of Jesus. So he tells his disciples that witnessed this, get in the boat. Matter of fact, it's the only boat. Go to the other side. Okay? You can read in the rest of the story there. So the disciples get in the boat that Jesus told them to get in and to go to the other side. Jesus didn't get in the boat. Where was Jesus? He was still on the side, the beach, right? Now the storm comes. Now this storm is a protecting storm. Pastor, how are you going to get protecting out of this one?